Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you happen to be a visitor or you're here as a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. We also welcome those who are joining us by way of the live stream. And Peter's on video this morning. If you're there and you'd like to leave a note in the chat that accompanies that video, we'd be happy to hear from you. Also, if you're listening in to the Cathedral Audio Podcast, recorded and after the fact, you're welcome as well. A couple of things that I'll just mention by way of announcement. First of all is a word of welcome to you if you're visiting and you are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and normally make communion in your home church. You're welcome to do that here today. So the Anglican Church does welcome you. When it's time for communion, if you approach by way of the center aisle in two lines and return to your seat by way of the sides, that will help facilitate our movement. And also just to mention that we are not practicing intinction at the moment. That is, we're not dipping the bread in the wine. So if it's your intention not to drink from the common cup, then just take the bread and go past the cup. But you're welcome to receive in both kinds if that's what you would wish to do. Also, if you'd rather not make communion, but you would like to come forward as a member of the family of God, crossing your arms in this way will request a blessing. And we do have gluten-free hosts available if that's something that you need. This week we were, it was brought to our attention that Layla Lougheed's mom, Luce Marina Marino, died on the 2nd of December. So Layla, I don't know, Layla, I don't see her this morning, but she is around and about. Is she? I'm sorry, Isabel. Correct. Yeah. And that is Layla Lougheed's mom. And so she died in December, and she asked if we would remember her in our prayers, and we assured her that we would. Also, I'll just mention that on Monday morning, from 10 o'clock on to probably about 11:30, the cathedral office will be closed. And the reason for that is that at Christmas time, the staff usually gather at with Kelly and I at our home for dinner. And this year that didn't happen because of a number of reasons. So we're going to kind of make up for that and gather for breakfast on Monday morning. At about 10 o'clock. So if you don't find anyone at the office, that is why this week. Also, just to mention that the Stewardship Learning Group will meet again this coming Wednesday. So we had our first meeting last week, and it didn't quite make it into the schedule for this week, but we will meet this coming Wednesday at 7:30. And also, just a reminder again about the fact that annual reporting is due by the 3rd of February, and I think that's tomorrow. So if you could have annual reports in by tomorrow, that would be most appreciated. And the annual meeting is on Sunday, the 16th of March, according to our schedule. I notice that some of you are wearing your coats, and that might be a good thing. We're not super cold here, but we're not super warm either. So despite spending about $75,000 a couple of months ago to replace the furnace, we are still having some issues. And one of the things that happens in a system, when you replace one part of the system, it puts the other parts, puts extra strain on them, and that's what's happened, I think. So we're having some circulation issues with the radiators in the center part of the church. So there's heat at the very back, and there's heat at the front, but the middle is a little bit chilly. So we've got some fans going, trying to circulate the air a bit, and I would suggest just keep your coat on. It's about 15 degrees in here, so it's not super cold, but it might be a little chilly. And I think, Hank, you had something that you'd like to share with us.
I'd like to know if the band knows the tune "We're Having a Heat Wave," personally. This may sound a little petty, but it's primarily because of the security. At the end of the service, when y'all leave, could I ask you to go through the west door? Because a lot of times the south door is already locked and the lights are out and everything, and there's a good chance that if the lights are out, you might fall. And some people leave and then they can't relock the door after them. So once the door is locked, it's nice to have it stay that way. So, and there's also steps there. That's a lot easier to go out that way. So if you could leave by the west door, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Hank. So it's not often that the band gets a request, but can you respond to it? I forget how it goes. You do too.
We could do Winter Wonderland.
Is there anything else that needs announcing? We're worshiping today according to the Come Worship style. And for those of you who might be visiting, we follow this style every other Sunday at the moment. So at 10:30, we go back and forth between a traditional worship style and this more or less formal style. And so we are celebrating the presentation of the Lord in the temple today. And everything you'll need, pretty much, you'll find on this blue-colored insert in your leaflet. And as we begin, I'll ask you to stand for the invitation to worship. Words from Psalm 84. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and a longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. Oh, come, let us worship.
I could suggest, well, we can't do a song about that. People can dance in place when they're singing. Get some movement in.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, for you have sent us your salvation. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit to recognize him who is the glory of Israel and the light for all nations, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after their marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For my eyes have seen your salvation. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's worthwhile, I think, for us to be reminded that we continue in the Christmas cycle of the church year. Even though for most of us it seems that Christmas was ages ago now, the ripples of the importance of the incarnation continue to pull and push at the themes that we read and recognize throughout this Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany season. The Christmas cycle would have us bask in the meaning of the incarnation. That mystery of the faith that tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, became one of us. He shared our human nature, as one of the Eucharistic prayers drawn from ancient texts puts it in the Book of Alternative Services. He shared our human nature. It's of importance that we don't toddle lightly over the profundity of that mystery. It's central to the faith we uphold as Anglican Catholic Christians, who seek always to reach back, whenever possible, into the early apostolic church to mine its riches and its understandings. Those who rubbed shoulders with the one named Jesus have a critical perspective on who he is and why he is important to us. It so happens that today is the 2nd of February. And while we live in a world anxiously awaiting news about groundhogs, in the church, it's the presentation of the Lord in the temple. The presentation is one of those calendar festivals in the church calendar that always bumps a Sunday. If it falls on a Sunday, it takes precedence. The English have long referred to the presentation as Candlemas, yet another celebration of light. Many English churches see today as an opportunity to bless the candles that will be used throughout the year. Others see it as the last day to enjoy Christmas decoration. In some places, elaborate processions of light are planned and executed. Ever since the first of Advent, we've been watching the light. We lighted candles on the Advent wreath. On Christmas Eve, we read from the beginning verses of the Gospel of John, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." A star over where Jesus lay burned brightly, guiding wise guys to worship the King. Let your light so shine before others. The Book of Common Prayer directs us to say at the offertory, at the Eucharist, throughout the season of Epiphany. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. So today is just a continuation of celebrating the revealing of God in a human being. The light showing forth. Epiphany. And we'll continue to do that until Ash Wednesday again this year. The presentation of a male child in the temple 40 days after birth concluded the purification rites after childbirth. Among those they encountered that day was the aging Simeon. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. The prophet Anna never left the temple, fasting and praying night and day. The words said about Jesus amazed his parents, Luke says. But what they heard only confirmed what they already knew, didn't it? The child they held in their arms was the redemption, the salvation of Israel, and a light to the Gentiles. This Jesus was God in a person, and that's no small claim. Christianity is the only world religion that makes that claim. And it's not something that someone just simply dreamed up one day. There's hard evidence that the Christian religion is based on events with countless credible witnesses. The substance of what those events mean is revealed. Christianity is a revealed religion. Salvation. That's a churchy word, isn't it? And I think the majority of people these days don't understand what it means. Not least of all because it's getting more and more difficult to find people in contemporary culture who can even imagine from what they could possibly need to be saved. And I think that happens when times are good. But I'm betting there's a good chance that you're here because you do see what that might be. Salvation is a big word. It encompasses election, predestination, redemption, propitiation, divine calling, regeneration, reconciliation, forgiveness, adoption, sanctification, glorification, and probably we could go on and on. And here's the thing that often gets missed. It's not just an event. It's also a process. Salvation is not just an event. It's also a process. And I think, you know, we might have the Protestant reformers to thank for that, those who lived and proclaimed the gospel during the Enlightenment. There's that word again. Shining to reveal what was once in the dark, light. From a Protestant perspective, the problem was that people just didn't understand. They needed to hear with their ears, but also to see with their minds. And so communication became most important. A Bible in the vernacular. Words of worship written in a language we could understand. Preaching came to prominence. Evangelism, telling the good news, perhaps the most important emphasis. And while all that is good, while all that is good and important, it sometimes leaves the impression that salvation is only an event and not also a process. The incarnation, Jesus becoming human, doesn't only communicate salvation and redemption. The message, follow me, and our response, becoming disciples, is important, but there's more. The relationship to which we are called through baptism is with a person fully human who is also fully divine. Jesus doesn't only communicate about the need to be saved. Jesus becomes our salvation. Looking upon that little child, Simeon said, Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. The letter to the Hebrews helps us to understand the role of faithful high priest and the necessity of the incarnation. He had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, says the author of Hebrews. The sacrifice made is by one who has walked the whole way, birth through death, and everything in between. The ancient role of priest is to lead into the presence of God. And even today, priests make communion first, perhaps to prove it's safe to eat and drink, but most especially as one who leads, one with firsthand experience of the pain and the suffering of those being led. We are born into slavery. It sometimes takes a lifetime to learn what that means. It can be a situation where we get all the words right, have the right things going on up here, call ourselves good Christians, give our money to causes that matter to us and that we believe in, pay our clergy a nice wage, even give them their own parking spot. But all the while, failing to love God and refuse to love our neighbor as ourselves. As one of the members of the administration in the United States said yesterday, his Bible teaches that family is first. We love our family, and if there's anything left over, then we love our neighbors. Not quite sure what Bible he's reading. And because of all that, because of that slavery, blood must be shed. And the man who is God shed it for us. Salvation. Redemption. Atonement. And it's not just an event. It's also a process. And I think that balance, what we often refer to as the via media, the middle way, I think that may be one of the things I appreciate most about the Anglican Church. As a teenager, I was friends with a girl who was profoundly concerned that as an Anglican Christian, I might not be saved. And when I visited our priest, I'll never forget the counsel he offered me. He said, the answer to that question is this: I was saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. I was saved at about 3 o'clock on the first Good Friday afternoon. I am being saved, what Anglicans would refer to as sanctification, that is, becoming more and more holy, more set apart. And I will be saved when God has finally worked out his purpose in me. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, for you have sent us your salvation. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit to recognize him who is the glory of Israel and the light for all nations, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to continue now with ancient words of our faith, the Apostles' Creed. And as we stand, let us confess our faith as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we come to our prayers, our response to Lord in your mercy is hear our prayer. Let us pray. In this very uncertain world, we bring our prayers to you, Lord, asking for your light and your love to be shared with us in every request we ask today. Heavenly Father, strengthen your church to be united in love, understanding, forgiveness, and prayer. We pray for the wider church throughout the world, And today, in the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Anglican Church in Aotearoa, in New Zealand and Polynesia, for Primates Archbishop Justin, Archbishop Don, and Archbishop Sion. In our provincial cycle of prayer, we pray for the Diocese of Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island, and we pray for Bishop Sandra Fife. We pray for our own Archbishop David, our Metropolitan and Bishop of our Diocese of Fredericton, for Geoffrey, our Dean, and for all clergy and lay leaders in our diocese. Lord, grant them wisdom, courage, and love to minister to your people. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our world amidst so much uncertainty. We pray for the countries in the Middle East, for Iraq, which is trying to embrace democracy, for Israel and Palestine, that they may find a way to live together, side by side, without hatred and violence. For countries around the world facing disasters of every kind, through climate, war, and political uncertainty. And today we have to pray for our own country of Canada and its relationship with the United States. Give wisdom to the leaders who bring common sense, justice, and peace to their decisions. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our local community, for all who make decisions that affect the lives of all of us who live here. Help us to reach out as a church and individuals to those who are in need, and especially in this time of very cold weather, in whatever way we may be able to help. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who suffer in mind or body, and for those who care for them. We pray for the sick, for those who mourn, for those without faith, hope, or love. We pray for anyone known to us who are in special need of our prayers at this time. And today we pray for our cathedral congregational members who need our prayer: Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, David, Janice, Dolph, David and Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, and any others that you may care to mention, either silently in your hearts or out loud. Lord, in your mercy, we pray, we bring condolences to Leila Lougheed on the death of her mother, Luz Marina Moreno. Rest eternal grant unto her, and let light perpetual shine upon her. Merciful Father, as we step out into your world this coming week, may we share your light, so that others know of your presence and love and the hope you bring to us all. We bring these and all our prayers to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Continuing with words of confession, we say, Lord, though you should guide us, we inform ourselves. Though you should rule us, we control ourselves. Though you should fulfill us, we console ourselves. We think your truth too high, your will too hard, your power too remote, your love too free. But they are not. And without them, we are of all people most miserable. Now heal our confused minds with your word. Heal our divided wills with your law. Heal our troubled consciences with your love. Heal our anxious hearts with your presence, all for the sake of your Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, accept the joyful offering of your church and grant that your Son may shine in us as the light that lightens every nation. We ask this in the name of the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The prayer of great thanksgiving, the Eucharistic prayer, follows. You're welcome to remain standing for that. Or if you would prefer, you can be seated, or if you'd rather kneel, that's appropriate as well. In this prayer, we offer our thanks to God for his gifts to us, symbolically represented by bread and wine, that which is the work of human hands, but made from the good gifts that God gives to us. And we offer our thanks for the gift of salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ. It is right, just, our duty and our salvation always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For through his Paschal mystery, he accomplished the marvelous deed by which he has freed us from the yoke of sin and death, summoning us to the glory of being now called a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for your own possession, to proclaim everywhere your mighty works, for you have called us out of darkness into your own wonderful light. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the cup, and once more, giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink it. For this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." Therefore, we celebrate the memorial of his death and passion. We offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring us to the fullness of your purpose. Remember our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them, like the dewfall, so that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread, yet do not presume to come to the table of the Lord. By his mercy, may we evermore dwell in him and he in us. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Down the road.
As we stand, let us pray. God, for whom we wait, you fulfill the hope of Simeon, who did not die till he had welcomed the Messiah. Complete in us your perfect will, that we in Christ may share in your eternal kingdom, for he is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who was wounded for our sins, that you may bear in your life the love and joy and peace which are the marks of Jesus in his disciples, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
And I would love to have the children come up and bang drums and shake things and shake their bodies and get warm again. Of course, the kids probably don't notice so much. I know there's more than Lucian, but I'm glad he's here.
And for any adults who want to come in and shake their booty and be all warm, more than welcome too.